I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. A great website is vancouversawesome.com. It's an awesome website that spreads the word about Vancouver, how great it is, profiles the colorful people therein, and discusses what's happening in town arts and culture-wise. Its managing editor and executive director, Bob Kronbauer, joins me now. I've long wanted him on the program as he's does a great job with the website as well. It's an interesting story about how it's structured. VancouverIsAwesome.com is a nonprofit, and it's an interesting model that we'll get Mr. Kronbauer to tell us about. Since its debut in 2008, the site is widely read and has received accolades from the Georgia Strait and other local and international publications. It's a necessary site. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Bob Kronbauer. Good morning, Mr. Kronbauer.
Good morning, Joseph. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I think I first heard about the site from Sean Cranberry a while back, maybe a year or more ago. And he said
on the radio.
Yes. And he suggested that I talk to you. And over the holidays, I've really enjoyed the site, going back, even contributing to the fundraising drive. How did this all start for you?
First started when I moved back here from Los Angeles. I moved away for 5 years to work down there, and I decided to move back because I missed the city and I missed how it really felt like home. And so coming back, I was following local blogs, trying to find out what was going on in the city, and everyone seemed to be just wanting to tell me what was wrong with the place. And it's kind of this environment in Vancouver where people just want to complain. And I appreciate it. I totally appreciate that there's a lot of things wrong with the city. Like, it's no cakewalk living in Vancouver. But at the end of the day, I found myself going to this website called cuteoverload.com, if you've ever seen it. It's like cleansing my palate, basically. It's photos of personified animals, like hamsters holding chopsticks and like fuzzy pandas and stuff. And I was just like, you know, go to that at the end of the day. After reading the news as well, which is always, you know, bad news is good news. Yeah. I mean, that's what you're watching when you watch the news, is all of the interesting stories are typically not Mike McCardle's stories.
Yeah.
No offense to Mike. But you know, and so I was like, I was thinking, what could I do that's like this personified hamster site that's a little more in tune with my interests, because I'm not that interested in hamsters. So so I started this blog, and the idea was to just share positive stories about things that are going on here, like just deliver a positive message. And so, long story short, that's how it started.
Yeah, and you mentioned going online when you came back. Do you think that the online viewer gets a good sense of this town from the blogs and the websites that are here?
I think now, maybe more. Yeah. Like there's a couple that really sort of touch on what's going on around town, and then you've got like the Strait is online, all the papers are online, and you can. It seems a little more navigable now than it did when I first got back, I guess. Maybe because everyone's realizing that it's important for them to be there.
Yeah. Now, the website, it's more than you. There are other contributors, right?
It's much bigger than me, yes. And hopefully one day I'd like to cure it of the founder syndrome that it's in right now. But, yeah, it's me and about 20 different editors. That all do most of them do weekly features, and some of them dip in occasionally to do the sort of more random posts. But yeah, it's a great team that we've got, and they're all pro bono, which is fits well with our nonprofit, which I guess we should probably discuss that as well.
Yeah. Now, as to the site itself, now who should go to it? Is it for the resident, or can the tourist or the visitor to Vancouver get something out of it?
Well, it's written for people that live here, and the analytics on it are, it's about 75% of the people viewing it are viewing it from within Vancouver. So there's like 25% are, it's mostly throughout the rest of Canada and throughout the states, and some international viewers. But yeah, for the most part, our angle is like, this is your city, and this is we're sort of reminding you what makes it great. But there is that sort of overflow of people that, you know, when I go to a city, I don't want to see the official take from the city. You know, like, I want to sort of get the insider view, and I guess that's where that 25% comes from, is people wanting to know what the residents are doing and what the residents are excited about.
So when you started this, I guess in 08, was it the goal to make it a nonprofit? How did that come about?
It's funny because originally, at the time when I started it, it was, I'm a creative director, and I had a contract with Nike at the time, and I was looking at this as something that would never make money. Like, I told my wife explicitly, like, okay, I've got a lot of projects going on, but this is the one thing that's just going to be for the sake of doing it, because it's fun and because it's a good thing, and I like doing it. And looking back in hindsight, I should have known that it was the one thing I was working on that would really stick and that would start taking up more of my time. And as it did, sort of had to figure out, like, okay, well, you know, I can't do this for free for the rest of my life. So yeah, so from like a business standpoint, it like had to, that, we're trying to figure out, like, okay, well, now what are we going to do with this thing? Because it needs to actually generate some revenue so that it can survive. And in the long term, how's that going to look? And so a friend of mine was like, oh, well, you know, like, you've already got a mandate. It's this, like, it's on the top of the website, and it's been there since the beginning, like, the study, promotion, and preservation of Vancouver arts and culture with a positive spin. And it's like, oh, well. So it fits in the nonprofit structure, in that it's just the nature of it, I guess. And so what's great for me is that it comes from that very pure space where it wasn't ever supposed to make anybody a lot of money.
And do you find that the community, the online and otherwise, that they're out there to support the website?
Yeah, for the most part, I think, yeah. People, I mean, like, yeah, we did our donor drive this year, and it was, our goal was $20,000, which is a percentage of our fundraising for the year, and we made it to $17,000, which is pretty impressive. And, I mean, you can look at over the last year, we've really been trying to partner with a lot of different organizations and businesses and work with them, and we gathered 65 letters of support from anybody from Science World to a underground music festival called Music Waste. And so, yeah, I think the support is growing as people sort of see us continue on doing this. Like, it's been 3 years now, and we're still going strong.
And the other thing that you also do with the website is that you put on events throughout the city, right? I understand there's an event with Michael Christie on February 4th.
Yeah, for the Beggar's Garden. That's we're not actually producing that one. That's the signing at our Day of Books, and we're just partnering on it as a co-sponsor. And we do that a lot. We'll co-sponsor something, and then we'll give it an extra push and sort of shed more light on it on the site. And that's actually been a lot of what we've been doing. We have been producing our own events. We got a grant for the Vancouver 125th to put on 6 storytelling nights with the Rain City Chronicles in the next year.
And when did those start?
The first one actually is February 1st at the Waldorf.
Right. And so what'll that be like? What's the event? Is it storytelling? What did you say?
Yeah. So the lineup is like 10 average Vancouverites. And they each are given a theme. I can't remember what the theme is for the one coming up. But yeah, they've got a theme, and they've got a six minute cap on their story, and they all get up there and they tell a story about living in Vancouver, basically. Not about living in Vancouver, but it's from that angle. And it's broken up. There's usually a couple of musicians, and it's a pretty intimate thing. They've done it at the Anza Club, and they've done it at the Wise Hall before. And we're partnering with these ones. The first two, I think, are at the Waldorf, and then they might go elsewhere.
There are those people, as you mentioned, online who like to complain about the city, that the city sucks and that it's no fun. These people that do, who are they? I mean, what do they complain about?
What do they complain about? I guess what don't they complain about?
Right.
It seems like, you know, as the internet is, anyone can go on and throw in their two cents about their gripes and what they complain about, and I think that's probably the easiest thing to do is to talk about things that we don't like. I think it's a little bit harder to step outside of your personal gripes and to just sort of focus on other people that are doing good things. I don't want to point the finger, but there's a lot of it.
And this year it's an election year. There'll probably be more of that.
I guess there's politics for sure.
Yeah.
It's something that we don't touch upon, and so as a subject at all, we don't really talk about politics. So that leaves a lot of that out because of the whole nature. It's kind of like the whole nature of politics.
Yeah. So you won't be talking about the election at all.
Well, we might encourage people to vote, but we're not going to tell them who to vote for and what's wrong with this person and what's wrong with this person. And with the last election, we didn't really do too much aside from encourage people to vote based on what they, you know, based on the things that they want to see happening in their city.
You've got a number of interviews on the site, and what's great about them is that they're instructive about how great this place is, from people that either grew up here or that make their homes here now. Tell us about some of the people who've been on. I mean, you've got a great list of interview guests on there.
My favorite one was Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Because it took a really long time to get it, and it lined up really well, and I actually got to speak with him on the phone, which was an honor. And to just speak to somebody so iconic like that and ask him the exact same questions that we're asking, you know, more local folks, you know, like he talks about his favorite restaurants growing up and in current places that he likes to go when he's here, and you find some of the sort of hidden secrets that he's got. And I don't know, it kinda humanizes them and attaches them to like our daily lives almost.
Yeah. And the people that you're pursuing for that, for the interview part of it. I mean, that's anybody. I mean, that's like that could be Bob Rennie or Biff Naked, right?
I'm sorry?
The people that you're planning to have on in the future. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, big names like I forgot the guy's name now.
Ryan Reynolds,
yeah.
Yeah.
The Ryan Reynoldses and the Michael J. Foxes, but you also have the people like the Biff Nakeds and the Bob Rennies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and who else do you plan on talking to about for this interview part of the website?
We started a new section. That one's called Most Awesome, and so it's like sort of alludes to who the public views as sort of fame. Like, that's the gauge on that one. It's sort of like A-listers and B-listers and sort of celebrity types. And we're starting this new, we just actually launched it last week with Scott Hawthorne, who runs Salt Tasting Room and does a couple other things around town.
Right.
And it's a series of interviews called Building Blocks. And it's about sort of community builders and people that are a little bit in the background as opposed to the sort of celebrated most awesome people. We're trying to find people that are doing great things and celebrate them a little bit more. But let me think, who am I trying to get? Trevor Linden. I'd love to get Trevor Linden. The Canucks are always really hard to nail down to do an interview. Luongo would be great.
Yeah.
What other Canucks can I name? Sort of drawing a blank here.
Yeah. Now, about Vancouver's greatness, the Olympics, I guess, had something to do with that, didn't they?
Well, I mean, looking towards the Olympics, I was a little apprehensive about how we were going to cover it and what we were going to do, and early on we were discouraged from applying for accreditation, so I was kind of like, really? Okay, so we'll just take it as it comes. And so, I mean, all along, my take was that Vancouver isn't awesome because the Olympics are coming here. The Olympics are coming here because Vancouver is awesome. And so that's kind of how we covered it. And it was like, from our point of view, just things that we came across. And I went to a couple of the games and stuff, but it was a little more ground level than like media coverage. So I'm sorry, what was the question?
Were they as transformative as we like to think they are? I mean, do you think at the end of the day, I mean, we're a year after them now. Do you think Vancouver is more awesome because of them?
I think that they left something pretty cool here. I think there's a Facebook thing right now that just two dudes started last week, and it's like, we celebrate the games on Granville Street, and I checked yesterday, and there's 12,000 people that are signed up for it already, and I don't know. It left us with something, the spirit, I think.
And it's hard to believe.
It also left us with a really, really vacant, property on the waterfront. But there's goods and bads, definitely. So, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that it was a good idea and that we did benefit from it. And if nobody's asking me, but if I was to choose again, I think I would do it.
Yeah. It's hard to believe that it's been a year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is crazy. It totally is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised the Expo 86 celebrations haven't started yet because it's 25 years
right
coming up. And is anybody celebrating that?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. You say that with such enthusiasm.
Yeah, I mean, that is something that people should celebrate, don't you think? I mean,
I do, yeah. I do.
There's a photograph of you online with chickens. Do you raise chickens in your backyard?
I wish I did. I'm a renter, and I don't think that my landlord would be too keen on it. But that's a couple blocks away from my house, and that's a friend of mine has chickens in his backyard that he raises, and he gets a couple eggs a day out of them.
Yeah. What neighborhood do you live in?
In Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, it's a great neighborhood, isn't it?
It really is. We have a 2-year-old, and we decided before my wife got pregnant that we wanted to live in a more of a neighborhood than downtown where we were living at the time, and now it's like we pay the same price that we did for a small box in the sky for we get a backyard and friendly neighbors and a very sort of community feel to it. Nothing against downtown living, but for a small family, I think Mount Pleasant is fantastic for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I live at Fraser in King Edward, and it's funny, we were talking before we started about Charlie Demers and his book,
yes.
And it just seems to me that wherever you live in the city, you think it's the best place in the city, don't you think?
Yeah, I think when we lived in downtown, I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think so.
Well, Bob, thanks for this. I've enjoyed the conversation.
Well, thanks for thinking of me. This is an honor to be on your show.
You're very welcome. The website is vancouversawesome.com. It's managing editor and executive director Bob Kronbauer on the line in Awesome Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.